gospel moment to get started. We have a quality crowd tonight. Don't forget that our group is in Gatlinburg, and we did get a report that was not a favorable report. Charles Smith fell up there and has had to get some stitches put in his head. So most of you know who Charles is, but we'll keep him in our prayers for a safe return back from Gatlinburg and for the rest of the group coming back. Faith Watts is better today. We prayed for her this morning, and she is better, and we're hoping that is a continued trend for her and that she can regain some of her health. Also, as we announced this morning, we have people, obviously, that are traveling, but the Volanis are in the Carolinas. Want us to keep them in our prayers for a safe return from their trip. In just a few minutes, our opening prayer will be worded by Zach Burton. Our closing prayer will be worded by Marvin Picklesheimer. I believe that Joe Terrell is going to lead our singing unless he backs out at the last minute. And, of course, Mike Gifford is going to be here to lead our lesson tonight for us. And we appreciate Mike and his wife for being here with us this evening. Again, if you're visiting with us, we appreciate you being here. We hope we'll get to meet you and greet you before you leave.
Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to Him I sing, forward I go. Closely to Him I cling, blessings He'll flow. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. Sing His favor in everything I do. Happy to serve my friend, lean on His arm, raptured with never end, I lean along. Voices will sweetly blend under His charm.
Before I open the prayer, let's pray 732. 732 is in your first, second, and last. 732.
We praise You, O God, for the Son.
Spirit of us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight and to be able to worship you. Lord, we thank you for the blessing to be able to come here this day and to be able to praise you and be able to learn your word so we can apply it to our lives and be more faithful in your eyes. We thank you for the many blessings you provided us with in our lives, like the blessing to have this wonderful congregation and have our friends and family to worship with us. We ask that when we go throughout this lesson, we can take the lesson into our hearts with open eyes and open hearts and open minds so we can be able to apply it to our lives to show the world our light that we have with you. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
If you will, take this opportunity to mark your books, page 50. We have the song After Lesson for Encouragement. 50. Now lesson page 138, senior first, second, and last. Shall we all stand, please?
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder. Why it should be thus all the day long. Why there are others sitting about us. Never molested, nor in the wrong. Father, I prefer that I stay out of the camera's look. But
I thought I'd stay on the floor with you tonight since we are a little fewer in number and a little more personal this evening. Let's talk about direction for a little bit. You know, direction, guys, that's something that sometimes the ladies say we won't take the time to find. When we talk about direction, everybody's got some kind of direction. You have direction when you're a student in school, you want to get out of school, you want to finish successfully. In your job, you have direction, you want to work your way up through the various promotions and the ladders and so on and get to a certain point. Even in life in general, you have direction, do you not? That you want to get to a certain point in your life where maybe you can retire and kick back a little bit. We talk about going on trips, we have direction. Generally speaking, I don't know, sometimes you might be one of those folks who just likes to go out and drive around in circles for a while. But a lot of times we have direction, places where we want to go. We use this little GPS, to a global positioning system, to tell us how we're going to get there. So we talk about direction. Let me ask you a question to consider this evening. What kind of direction do you have for your home? Have you considered a direction for your family? And I'm sure as you're thinking about that, your initial response is, well, absolutely, I want my family to go to heaven. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about taking your family to heaven. Notice the way that's phrased. We're not talking about sending your family to heaven. We're talking about taking your family to heaven, that you lead them there and help them to get there. You know, the family is so very important. We go back to Genesis chapter 2. We read the establishment of the home in Genesis chapter 2, where God had created the man. And then when he allowed the man to look at all the animals that he had created and saw that there was none there who was a worthy helper for him, God made for him the woman. And the two, as he said later, comment in Genesis chapter 2, would become one flesh. They would leave father and mother and become one flesh. Thus the establishment of the home. And as we read on, we read about how valuable the home is. We read about Jesus being in the home of Zacchaeus. We read about Jesus being in the home of his dear friends of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We read about Jesus being at a wedding in John chapter 2. God has authorized the home, and God approves of the home when it walks in his way. And so we're talking about, when we talk about taking our family to heaven, we know that we're not doing this alone. We'll have more to say about that in just a minute. Let's talk about how we can do this. Let's make these points. First of all, in order to take your family to heaven, to have that direction, somebody's got to take the lead. And maybe it's getting better, I don't know, but it just seems in my relatively brief lifetime that the general attitude is, and obviously I look around here and I don't see this tonight, but in the world it seems like the general attitude is, well, religious stuff, that's the mom's job. That's the wife's job. Dad's supposed to be out there. He's the one who's breaking his back every day, bringing home the bacon and doing all those things. He doesn't have time for all that. Folks, the Bible teaches quite the opposite of that. The Bible teaches us that it is the husband, the father, who is to take the spiritual leadership in the home. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 5. I know you're familiar with the passage, but it doesn't hurt to look at it again and again and again. We're never going to get enough knowledge about how we can improve our homes. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23, the writer says, "The husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body." Down to verse 25, and this is key. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." How can you overemphasize that point? Gentlemen, what if we spent time focused only on learning from the Bible how Jesus loves the church? What if you did a study in your Bible class? Or what if you just did a study at home? Focus on reading the gospel accounts, even if you want to just focus on the gospel accounts. Looking at the gospel accounts to see evidence of how Jesus loves the church. Now, the church wasn't established at that point, but you can see clearly how Jesus interacted with people and see the application that's being made. You can go through the epistles and see how Jesus loved the church. Suppose we were to do that. Well, even here in Ephesians 5, it says Jesus loves the church in such a way that he gave himself for it. So what if we studied more about how Jesus loves the church? Not only would that benefit us men spiritually, because we could be more like Jesus, but it would benefit our homes, because then we would translate that into applying it into our homes. Oh, Jesus sacrificed himself for the church. That's how much he loves the church. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. What does it mean to sacrifice? Give of yourself. Again, we don't have the time to discuss all that this evening. I'm just giving you some fodder for your personal study, men. Some things to consider. When we go into the Bible, we see some great examples of fathers. Back in Genesis chapter 18, for instance, we read about Abraham. And God makes a statement about Abraham, which at this point, Isaac had not yet been born. But down in Genesis 18 and 19, he makes a statement about Abraham that I wish God would say about me. God said, "For I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I know him, that he will lead his children to follow me." I can't think of any better testament to a man's righteousness and holiness as a father than for God himself to say, "I know what kind of man he is. He is going to lead his children to follow me." Another great example of a father would be Joshua, right? Joshua 24 and verse 15. Remember, as Israel was on the verge of, well, actually after they'd already entered into the promised land of Canaan, what's coming up not too distant future from this is the death of Joshua. Joshua wants something to be very clear to everybody. So he says in Joshua chapter 24, in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve." Now how many Israelites were there? Some say there might have been in the millions, hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many there were. But Joshua had the responsibility. It was his charge to lead Israel in their new homeland. And he said in the later years of his life, whatever you choose to do, if you choose Israel to go back and worship those gods that were worshipped when you were in Egypt, well, that's your choice. He said, "I'm going to lead, but that's your choice." But he said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord," or Jehovah, as he said. "We will serve the Lord." So you see, here's a man who's busy. And again, the idea that, well, you know, husband, father, his job is to be out there working hard every day, and he's so busy doing that, he doesn't have time for spiritual things. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of us are the leaders of millions of people? I don't think there's anybody in here who has that much responsibility. And if a man like that can take the time and will take the time to lead his home to follow God, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Men, this job, this responsibility, this privilege, this honor God has given to us to lead our home, to watch for the souls of our families. Even if our children are grown and gone, even if we're in the later years of life and we're still blessed to have our spouse with us, we still get to lead our homes. So how do you take your family to heaven? Somebody's got to take the leadership. God has given you and me, men, the responsibility to do that. And it's a great blessing and privilege to be able to do so. But you know, the wives aren't left out either. We see in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, that the older women were taught to teach the younger women. This is Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, actually. "The aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much things, wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We read from Ephesians 5 earlier regarding the men, Ephesians 5 regarding the ladies, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So you see, God hasn't just said, all men, it's all about you, it's all on your shoulders. He's given us the leadership, but he's also given the ladies a responsibility for faithfulness themselves. How are we going to take our families to heaven? You can't have two pulling in different harnesses, if you'll excuse the analogy there. But two pulling together for a common purpose in a common direction. What do you do on a daily basis, spiritually, together, husband and wife? And we can bring your children in here too, but now I'm just talking to husband and wife. What do you do together on a spiritual basis on a daily, regular basis? Do you pray together? And I don't mean just at meals. Praying for, giving thanks for our food is important. But do you spend time praying together? Do you spend time reading the Bible and discussing the Bible together? If not, why not? Is it because that's not the centerpiece of your relationship? And if it's not the centerpiece of your relationship, shouldn't it be? God bless you, God bless me, with great spouses. We have an opportunity to work together to help each other to go to heaven. And then when we bring the children in, those of you who still have children at home, those of us whose children are gone and away from home, we can still have a powerful influence on them. But those of you with your children still at home, what are you doing with them on a daily basis to help them be closer to God? Are you praying with them? Are you studying the Bible together with them, no matter what age they might be? Even the littlest ones. Those of you who brought your children up in the Lord, even though they're very little, and you've gotten them involved in things like singing, you know they start picking things up early, don't they? They start mimicking you, what they see, very early in their lives, a lot earlier than we sometimes suspect. Sometimes we may think that nobody's watching, but that two little eyes and those two big ears are catching what we're doing and what we're saying. Isn't it great to watch the little children when they get up? And I think you have a kids thing here, right? You have for the little ones. Isn't it great to see even the littlest ones get up and lead a song, and they're putting everything they have into it? And maybe one of the reasons they're doing it is because they saw Dad do that. Or maybe the reason they're able to quote a verse from the Bible is because Mom and or Dad have spent time with them at home helping them to memorize those verses. I've seen little 6 or 7 or 8 year old boys get up in front who could quote more scripture than some adults, because Mom and Dad said, this is our responsibility, this is our privilege to take our family to heaven. Well, let's make another point about this, taking our family to heaven. First of all, we need the leadership from the men. We need the cooperation and help from the ladies in the home. But here's another point about taking our family to heaven. Is that we need to look at ourselves. Personally, spiritually, look at ourselves. What is your personal spiritual life like now? I'm not talking about the time you spend with your family, or the time you spend here, or the time you spend preparing for your Bible class, if you're teaching a Bible class. I'm talking about you when you're by yourself. What kind of time do you give on a daily basis as a Christian to meditating on this book and to praying to your God? You see, we need to look inside ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. How can we lead our homes if we are not spiritually strong ourselves? We quoted this morning from Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. You know, one of the challenges we get into and that we see as children grow from youth through teenage years to young adult years, and this isn't necessarily across the board, so I'm not making a blanket statement, but it's just an observation, and I think you agree with me. One of the challenges that we see is when mom and dad say, child, do this, and mom and dad do something entirely different. You know, son, get your Bible class material ready for Sunday morning. Get that workbook filled out. Do this, do that. But mom and dad haven't studied the Word. You see, we need to look inside ourselves, and we need to make sure that we ourselves in our homes individually are striving to be closer to God. You know, we're already in one sense closer to God. Romans 13, 11 and following says, now is your salvation nearer than when you believed. We're that much closer to eternity than we ever have been. Each tick of the clock brings us that much closer to eternity. But how much closer with each tick of the clock are you to God? How much more like Jesus are you today than you were yesterday? See, while I'm asking you with one finger pointed up, there's three pointing back at me, asking myself that question. This is not just for our own benefit, although it does benefit us to study, to grow in our personal spiritual lives, but I'm talking about the influence we have on our homes as well. What do your children see? What does your spouse see in you? Are you taking the time that you need personally, privately, to grow your spiritual muscle? So we need to look inside ourselves. We also need to set our priorities straight. And this ties in with this pretty closely. We need to have our priorities straight. We need to make sure that there is nobody or no thing between us and our God. And again, these are all just general principles, aren't they? Aren't they? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6 and verse 33. These are general principles, but have you ever thought about how they apply in the home? And that's what I'm trying to get across here. Sometimes we look at passages and we think the golden rule, Matthew 7 and verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Have you ever thought, I need to do that in my home too? Because that applies in your home too. And how about Matthew 22, 37 through 39? The first and greatest commandment is love the Lord with all thy, Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. The second is like unto this, love thy neighbor as thyself. We look around and we start talking about who's our neighbor, like the lawyer did in Luke chapter 10. Jesus told him about the Good Samaritan. But you know who your neighbor is? According to what Jesus said in the parable of the Good Samaritan, your neighbor is anybody who you can help. Anybody within your realm of influence who you can help. And every single day, we look eye to eye with our neighbor. Whether it be a spouse, or a child, or our parents. We need to make sure we have our priorities straight. What do you want more than anything else in this world? Don't answer that to me. You answer it yourself. And I'll answer it myself. Because the cars are going to wear out. The clothes are going to fade away. Even the big house, it's going to need maintenance. It's going to start falling apart after a while. What do you want more than anything else in this world? May I suggest, and I believe that I'm speaking to a group of people here who already believe this, may I suggest to you that that number one priority is, I want to be more like Jesus, because I want to go be with Him. I want to see how close I can get to Him while I'm here on this earth. I want people to see Christ in me. If I'm supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, does that not also apply to my role in the home? Should I not be a light to my family and the salt to my family as well. See, next time you look at all these passages and we talk about how to live the Christian life and we talk about how to do all these things amongst our neighbors and friends and co-workers and so on, won't you just kind of bring it home and say, yeah, I need to do that at home too. And this next point I want to make, and then we'll just make one more after that. I broke my watch. I didn't do it on purpose, I promise. But let's just make this point. Don't try to do all this by yourself. There's no need to reinvent the system. There are all kinds of books out there. I did not get a chance to do this today, but I was curious if I'd done a Google search for books on the family. I imagine I would probably found a ton of them. And I'm sure there are a lot of great ones out there. But we have the help that we need to have the kind of home that God wants us to have. We've already got the book. We've already got the power of prayer. In fact, let me point you to James chapter 3 for a moment. We think about how we can enlist God's help in taking our family to heaven. In James chapter 1, in verse 5, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." We look at that passage, and I'm teaching James in GSOP right now. And so this particular study is just fresh on my mind. We look at this passage, and we think maybe sometimes we kind of put it in a box and say, well, when I need to know, when I need some wisdom on what job to take or what college to go to or how to invest my money or things like that, James 1 and verse 5, I'm going to go to God and ask for wisdom to make those right choices. Folks, it's a lot deeper than that. Because James says later on in James chapter 3, he defines the wisdom that we should be seeking. This is James 3 and verse 17. "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle." The King James says easy to be entreated. A better translation would be reasonable. You're a reasonable individual. You're not one who bristles whenever somebody corrects you when you're wrong. You are reasonable. You listen when you need to be corrected. You're full of mercy. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality, a better translation would be unwavering. And without hypocrisy. Now, why did I bring that all in here? Because again, remember what we said earlier. When you read the verses, how many of these passages do you sit and think, okay, this is what I want to be as a Christian. But now let's, in the context of tonight's message, this is what I want to be in my home. And I need wisdom in my home. I need wisdom everywhere, but I need it in my home. In my home, I want to be pure. I want to be gentle. I want to be peaceable. I want to be reasonable. In my home, I want to be full of mercy. In my home, I want to be full of good fruits. In my home, I want to be unwavering. And in my home, I want to be consistent without hypocrisy. And God says we can pray for that. And He gives liberally. So don't try to do it alone. You want to take your family to heaven? Lean on God, the one who established the home. Which leads to the last point. Let's always remember this. There are two forces at work here. God, Satan. God's stronger than Satan. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." God demonstrated his power over Satan all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He demonstrated it in the life of Job. He demonstrated on Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead. God is greater than Satan. God wants our homes to succeed. He's not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Again, when's the last time you looked at that verse and said, that applies to my family too. God does not want my family to be lost. And God has given me all things pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. God has given me what I need to lead my family to heaven. Why? because he wants us there. If God be for us, who shall be against us? Romans 8, verse 31. The family is a great blessing from God. We need to take our family to Him. We need to take leadership. We need to take and direct. We talked as we introduced this lesson about direction. What direction is our family going? And what are we doing to make sure it's the right direction? That's my challenge to you and to me, to constantly be examining to say, am I bringing my family closer to God so that we can be together in eternity? In a moment, we'll sing the hymn which has been selected. The church is the family, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and following. God adds to that family those who are obedient to Him. Through believing that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, through repentance of sins, through confession of faith in Jesus Christ, and through immersion into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. You can be part of the family that God has established this evening by obeying His gospel. Or as a Christian, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to do so here in just a moment. And if you have and you're a Christian already and you need the prayers of the church, well, no matter what it might be, but we specifically talked about the home this evening. But maybe there's some things that you would like us to pray with you regarding your role in your home. And you have an opportunity to do that as well as a Christian, to ask for the prayers of the church. But, you know, even if nobody feels like they need to respond publicly, let's all of us, including this one standing right here looking at you, let's all spend some time before we go to bed this evening just focusing on scriptures and thoughts of how we can make our family stronger in the Lord. Satan trembles, James 2 and verse 19, before God. Satan is afraid of God. And Satan knows that the closer we get to God, the harder it is going to be for him to take us. Let's make a commitment, personally and for our family's sake, to lead them closer to God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation and would like to respond publicly, we invite you to come while we sing.
As you open to Jesus for the cleansing, are you washing the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood and the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood and the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul of
Oh, be what's in the